You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
So one of the things that I just want to be honest with you guys about is some of you guys have been asking me, how are you doing? I'm not lying and saying I'm fine. Okay? What I'm saying is I'm good currently. And there are moments where I'm not good. And I know some of you guys are going to waver through those moments. And so what I want to do as your pastor is show vulnerability, that it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to be real. It's okay to be honest. It's not okay to be a liar. That's going to get you in a bad direction. Let me kind of explain real quick why I'm being vulnerable with you guys. Is I just felt pressure all week. Okay, do we have church? Do we not have church? Do I cancel it? Do I bring people in? We Lysoled everything in this place, and then I coughed all afternoon from Lysoling my own lungs. And so literally I was like, well, your benefit, but now I'm coughing, and you guys are like, he's infected with Lysol. And so I'm spreading it and giving the community cleanliness. But what I want to share with you guys is there was just that pressure, and I'm sure there's pressure by everybody that's all around. Tomorrow morning when you go in and your boss, there's pressure. Listen, there's not an easy answer. And we have been training as a church for years on the concept and topic of grace, which means you need to give grace because there's not a perfect answer. I know it. We want a perfect answer. We want to put the pressure on people to give the perfect answer and there be no consequences because the perfect answer was given. Welcome to humanity. The perfect answer is none of us are here. Okay, as long as humans are involved, there's not a perfect answer. So let's stop asking for it, okay? Because we want humans to still be involved, amen? So we've got to give grace. So grace to yourself, grace to others. Some of us, we need to forgive ourselves. You're going to have a little bit of anxiety. It's okay. It's normal. Forgive yourself. Don't think that you should have been stronger, more powerful, greater, better. Don't do it. Admit that you're frail and you need a king. And guess what? You have one. Amen. His name is Jesus. So this week, I've had to admit, God, I'm frail. Like I want to give like the best sermon of all time and preach something where like women weep when I'm reading the scriptures. Like, God, that would be amazing. And like literally men just stand and raise holy hands in the middle of while I'm teaching. But that's not what's going to happen this morning. I'm going to bring basically brokenness. I'm going to bring something little and small and frail and vulnerable. And I'm praying that the King grabs it, blesses it, and makes it big and amazing for His glory.
Amen.
Amen? So today, I would like to walk through with you guys Matthew chapter 6. And I had this big, long sermon. I was ready to preach for 3 hours. I'm going to try to do this in 30 minutes, so we'll see how this goes. But I'm basically going to go through a lot. So in order for us to understand the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, we've got to go back to Matthew 5. We've got to understand that what God is doing, and God being Jesus, is He's having a conversation with not the rich. He's having a conversation with not the powerful. He's not having a conversation with the upper middle class. He's having a conversation with the lower middle class and the poor. And He's talking with them about the kingdom of heaven. And many of you guys have had wonderful sermons preached at you about the Beatitudes. And you learn about it. It's blessed, 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 blessed. And you feel this massive amount of pressure put on you, which is legalism, that you're supposed to act like that. And what I want to share with you is that's not what Jesus is doing. What Jesus is doing is He's preaching a sermon. The people sitting listening to the sermon are realizing, that's not me. 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 And what Jesus is saying is, look, this isn't you. But let me tell you who I am. So would you guys pray with me real quick again and just ask that God would take what little I have and that He would bless it? Just like He grabbed water and He turned it into wine, and just like He grabbed a couple stale pieces of bread and some really nasty fish and He made it into an amazing feast, would He do that through the power of His Holy Spirit? Would you guys pray that with me? King, would you please bless me as a teacher? That God, if there are words that you want to say, that you would say them and get me out of the way. that God, with the people in this room, through the power of your Holy Spirit, if there's something special that you want to do, King, have your way, and that they would be willing to listen, and they would be willing to be obedient, and they would be willing to trust you. And for those of us who are online, who are watching, that God, this would be a holy moment as we sit inside of our own house, inside of our own home, that God, we're looking to you for hope. We're looking to you for love. We're looking to you for courage. We're looking to you, God, because everything on earth that we've looked to, it's not at all. You can practice this week, and you can watch and even make comments if you want to. I know Tawny is online right now, and I've already told her when I say something really good, just type amen and send. I've joked around with a couple people this week, and I'll share with you guys, mainly people on Facebook. I want to let you guys know, please don't normally treat this like next Sunday, you guys are all on Facebook Live. Try not to be like, why did he choose that scripture? You know, like, just be nice and be sweet, okay? We look at chapter 5. He jumps into the Beatitudes. It's not up on the screen. I'm just going to read through these. And what I want you to understand is, Jesus is saying, this is not you and I. If you have your Bibles, if you're on your phones, you can look it up. Some of you guys, you just have a regular phone, you can go to BibleGateway.com on your Chrome or Safari or whatever, and you can look up Matthew 5 there as well. It says this, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, sit through there. That list, if you're going to put that pressure on you that you're going to do all those things, you might be able to do one. Maybe two. But you're going to stretch at three. And you're going to start to realize that I have to admit that's not me. So if I start in that spot, if I admit that it's not me, if I admit that I'm not the answer, then I open myself up for the Lord's Prayer. You see, Jesus is building us towards a direction of where we're supposed to go. But we've got to get ready to go that direction. Some of you guys are educators. Some of you guys are teachers. You know that what you do is you try to give an introductory teaching, and you try to get people excited about why they would want to learn what you're about to teach them. Jesus is talking to a group of people on a hill, and they're sitting there going, what's the answer? But Jesus doesn't give it to them yet. He jumps into, he says, verses 13 through 16, he tells them that there's salt and light and that you can't be hidden. Some of you guys as Christians want to be hidden. You don't want to be seen at work. You just want to hide. And gosh darn it, your boss sees you every single day. And you're like, why? Well, Jesus told you, you're salt and light and you can't be hidden. Okay? In verse 17 through 19, Jesus says, I came to fulfill the law, and the law is what's holding you down. And then he throws something blindly brilliant at people in verse 20. He says this, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Most people don't preach on this. Most pastors try to avoid this. Real church, we go with the verses we don't like. We're like, I don't want to preach that verse. Let me say it again. Verse 20, chapter 5. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What the people heard that were sitting listening to him teach were this. Unless you're a billionaire, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Everybody sitting on that lawn was like, I am not a billionaire. I owe billions, but I am not a billionaire. I'm like an opposite billionaire. That's what they were hearing. Jesus was saying, you have to be a super amazing scribe and Pharisee. You have to have all the scriptures memorized. Anybody got that today? I don't. Problematic. So what Jesus is saying is, in order for you to get into the kingdom of heaven, you have to be a billionaire. I don't have a billion. Jesus is like, I'll loan you something. It's called salvation. It's called righteousness. I've got all the money. I've got all the stuff that you need. You just have to recognize you don't have it. In verse 21 through 26, he talks about anger. In verses 27 through 30, he talks about lust. Okay? Really abused verse. It's the lustful intent to dominate, to conquer, to control, to absolutely own. It's not seeing beauty. It's the idea and the concept that I lust after that home, and I'm going to make sure that homeowner's out of that home, and I'm going to kick them out, and I'm going to get that home, and I'm going to buy it, and then I'm going to tear it down, and I'm going to rebuild another home. That's what he's talking about. He talks about divorce in 31 to 32. Jesus is going at people. He's really trying to build a church. Then he goes through verses 33 and 37, and he's like, look, don't make pledges to people. Your word is not worth anything. Then he says in verses 38 and 42, don't retaliate at people. Yes, you're going to be injured. Yes, you're going to be hurt. Yes, somebody's going to damage you. But you don't damage other people. And then everybody's like, but I damage other people. So now I got to be a millionaire and not damage people. I can't enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus. This is not going well. Then he goes even further. Verse 43 and 48. He says, love your enemies. Jesus. I have really good enemies. And they need to be enemy. Right? They have hurt me. They have damaged me. They have wounded me. And God, I want them destroyed. And God is saying, not you. And then he drops another bomb. Not only do you have to be like scribes and Pharisees, he says in verse 48, chapter 5, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Wow, this verse has been abused. What Jesus is saying is you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And he's like, I'm the answer. But we as Christians have gone, I will be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. And I will work on perfectionism, which absolutely honors Satan and his kingdom and the dragon. And I am going to be a dragon person. And we're going to run church. And look what has happened to the church. Instead of hearing Jesus say, you must therefore have all the money in the world. Not just be a billionaire. You need to have all the money in the world as God has all the money in the world. And you're like, I don't have all the money in the world. Some of you guys will be like, I will therefore go out and strive to have all the money in the world. That's not what Jesus is teaching. Jesus is teaching, depend on me, and he's building the whole way through the Sermon on the Mount that he is the answer. And he's building the whole way through on the Sermon on the Mount that you and I are not the answer. And that's hard for humans. Haven't you heard humans say that if we just get the right people in the room and we get the smart people in the room, we can solve anything? We can solve a few things. But who do we really need to listen to? So then they're looking at this whole thing, this conversation, and they're like, okay, Jesus, you're absolutely destroying us. It jumps into chapter 6. In chapter 6, he says, okay, give to the needy in verses 1 through 4. People are like, I'm needy. He's like, yeah, give. And then he jumps into verses 5 through 15. Don't you feel it already? You're like, okay, Pastor, you're supposed to be like lifting me up, and all of this Sermon on the Mount is not lifting me up. Right, because it's not lifting us up the way that we want to be lifted. The way to be lifted up is to go down. The way to be raised up is to humble yourself. Scripture tells us that the pride God presses down. You guys feel like America's prideful? You guys feel like the world is prideful? You feel like we need a little bit of a dose of humility? I think we're there. And we've got to humble ourselves and bow down. This is not the first time that a disease has spread across the world or across the country. I literally was reading in Psalms as they were writing about there's a disease that's coming through, and God, you're the one that stopped it. You're the one that ended it. Can God right now, does God have the power to end it? Yes, he does. Then why aren't we asking him? Why aren't we trusting him? Why aren't we believing in him? The answer is because we can't see him. We can't touch him. He's hidden. We wonder where he is. And so we feel like we have to do something. And that gets us into trouble. This is what it says. He says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward. They got their attention. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, I want you to have a quiet, sweet, humble conversation with me. Remember when my kids were younger, my kids would come in and they would have their friend on the phone and they would be like, Dad, can I go da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And I was like, is your friend on the phone? Yeah. No. But Dad, right, you brought your friend in a conversation that was supposed to just between me and you, and I'm teaching you, don't do that to me again. You didn't even ask what the thing was. I don't care. The answer's no. Leave your phone out of the room and you come to me one-on-one and you and I talk. And we can have a real conversation. Some of us, we need to stop and slow down and have one-on-one conversations with God. Let's not abuse him. Let's not mistreat him. Let's be gracious in what we're doing. Verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep up empty phrases as Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard with their many words. Ouch. Let's put Protestants in there. Okay? If you don't know what a Protestant is, you're good. Verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Verse 8 needs to be on your mind all week, all day, all month, all year. Your king already knows what you and I need. Mm-hmm. Let me help you guys out. You do not need to start your prayer with, God, I need to give you some information because you've not been paying attention. There's a city in China called Wuhan. And I don't even think I'm saying it correctly, Lord, but I'll get you the pronunciation so that you can learn it. And I want to share with you what has happened and what has transpired. Don't do that. Don't be condescending to God. God's like, I'm very aware of what do you want? What is it that you need? He says, pray like this in verse 9. He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Point number one. Prayer connects us to God and his kingdom. We start in our Father in heaven. Our is a community prayer. What's interesting is that scholars talk about, Jesus doesn't have to use the word when you pray. Many of you guys in your translations will have the word when you pray in there, the word you. Jesus can say when you pray, or pray that, do this. He doesn't have to put in that pronoun. He doesn't have to make it individual. He doesn't have to make it corporate. He doesn't have to make it personal. He doesn't have to make it tender. He doesn't have to make it relational, but he does. And then he continues it. And the relational thing that he continues is our. Now, stop for a second and think about this. There's many levels to the word our. Okay? Sitting in this room, we as children of the King can say our Father. Each other, in here, all of us, our. My son and daughter can say our dad, our mom. Okay, you guys in here who call me pastor can say our pastor. It's shared. What's beautiful is Jesus is sharing his dad with us by saying our. Jesus is opening up the relationship. Jesus is saying, I'm connected to the Father, and I'm connecting you to the Father, which makes the Father our Father. That's mind-blowing what Jesus just did. Jesus just said, you guys can't connect to the Father. You can't do it. That's what he's doing the whole way through the Sermon on the Mount. And then he blasts right into the prayer and says, but I can, and I just did. Our Father. He connected you. He connected me. You're in. Our Father. A community prayer. A community connection. Yes, you and I have a personal relationship with Jesus. Yes, yes we do. Okay? But you also have a corporate relationship with Jesus. It used to be that the church pressed too hard on the corporate relationship with Jesus, and they didn't emphasize the personal relationship with Jesus. And then in the 1960s, people learned we can have a personal relationship with Jesus. And then they went too far the other direction, and they forgot corporate. It's both. It's our Father. You can go to your Father one-on-one, and you can go to your Father in a group. Pretty cool. Our Father. Then it says, hallowed be your name. When it says hallowed, this is a really interesting word. It's not a, I get that it's past tense in the sense of it has ED at the end of it. But what it's saying is that for, I don't even know, maybe I'm going to make up a word, but for perpetuum, forever, for eternity, for all of infinity of everything, may your name be hallowed. May your name be honored. Your name honored yesterday, your name honored today, your name honored tomorrow. Your name be lifted up always. And it's not a recognition of his name always being that way, but it's saying and proclaiming, I want it to be that way. Some of us, we've gotta remember our God is huge. If you got a big problem and you got a small God, you got a big problem. But if you got a big problem and you got a great and mighty and hallowed God, you got a small problem. Hallowed be your name. Your name be honored. I give your name honor. Give God honor in his name. I bless your name with honor, is what it's saying. God, I bless your name. God, you are high. You just included me in. You are amazing. Some of you guys, you know the names. You guys know the names of Adonai. You guys know the names of Yahweh. You can call God by his name. You can speak his name. How powerful is that? This prayer connects us to God and his kingdom. Point number two, the prayer aligns us to God. When we come in and we pray, most of the time it's us who are out of whack. It's us who've gotten crazy. It's us who've gotten lost. It's us who are off course. It's us who needs to come to God. It's not God coming to us. How about we change our prayers? How about we stop saying, God, would you please come here? How about we say, God, would you please take me there? God, get me where I'm supposed to be. Okay? Prayer aligns us to God. In verse 10, we say, your kingdom come. That's usually not my prayers. My prayers are like, here are my list of things I want and I need. And like I've joked around at Real Church, I think that God wears a red suit, has a big belly, and a gray beard. And I get to send him a list of stuff that I want. And he's supposed to answer it. That's not how God works. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Control freaks in the room, delete this out of your Bible. Get rid of verse 10. Go like Jefferson and make your own Bible and just cut out the pages that you want. And keep the good stuff and get rid of verse 10. Control freaks, you know what? Why don't you pray that verse 10 comes alive in your life? Pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, this would be true. God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's powerful, isn't it? When you get anxiety later on today, or this afternoon, or tomorrow, or this week, or whatever, whatever you're walking through, when there's just a moment where you're like, are we going to have enough money? Do we have enough food? Why can't I sleep? Whatever the issue is, pray this prayer. Our Father. I'm not alone in this. I feel alone, but I'm not alone. God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Point number three, the prayer reveals and admits our need for him. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, it became very real in America with all the panic buying that's going on. In America, we didn't have issues of do we have food or what's going on because there's always food in the grocery stores. But there's one person in Chicago that their whole garage is filled with all the food from Costco. Okay? And we're all going, okay, what are we going to do? God already gave you the answer. He already gave us the answer. Give us this day our daily bread. Some of you guys just pray that today. God, give me today what I need today. And forgive us our debts. It moves on. But that verse right there in verse 11 is so huge. It goes back to the Israelites. When the Israelites had to walk around the desert and they got manna, that God created the special bread that fell from heaven and fed them the entire time before they moved into the promised land. Do you realize that if God wanted to do manna 2.0, he could? Then literally, God is like, you know what? Okay, panic buying's happening. We're going to do manna in Chicago. He totally can. And tons of people would do the exact same that the Israelites did. They would gather more than they were supposed to. And if you know the story, it spoils. God kept wanting them to depend on him. The problem in America is most of us don't have to depend on God daily. There are usually 4 or 5 times in a year that we kind of gulp and we go, God, where are you? And the rest of the year we're fine because we have a freezer. You guys get the problem? We need to have the attitude of give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Some of you guys in this room, and by some of you, I mean all of us, and everybody who's online, you need to forgive you. You hold the most debts against yourself. You hold the most liens against yourself. You hold the most interest against yourself. Let it go. Forgive yourself. Sure, you tried your best and it didn't go well. Yes, you were evil and you got caught. Okay? Forgive yourself. Some of you guys, I'm going to help you practice. You may not believe it, but I just want you to say out loud. If you're watching online, I want you to do the same thing. People in your room are going to be like, that person's really weird. You just said out loud, I forgive myself. But you can say, if you're watching online, don't worry, there were 35 other people in Real Church who said it too. I'm not alone. Okay? So on the count of three, I just want you to say, I forgive myself. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
I forgive myself.
Let that sink in. Now, not only do I forgive myself, I forgive others. Okay, there's some people that you've got a list of stuff against. Okay, you've got moms, dads, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, neighbors, that second grade school teacher that gave you a B and you earned an A. Okay? I mean, that was maybe too personal. You need to forgive them. And I want you to say out loud on the count of three, I forgive you. And I want you to think of who that person is. Some of you guys, there's going to be a bunch of people. You see, in order to get to where we want to go, we need to forgive. We're asking God to show up. We're asking God to do an amazing miracle inside of the city, and we are unforgiving people. God, would you clean your room? Yeah, but God, I need all this stuff taken care of. I need this taken care of. Clean your room. God, I need all this stuff taken care of. Clean your room. God, what's in my room? All that unforgiveness. Clean your room. Let's clean our rooms. Okay, so I want you to think about this. I forgive you. Okay, on the count of three. Facebook people, you didn't do it last time. I can tell. Do it. Okay? I'm judging you. And I forgive you. But here we go. Okay? On the count of three. I forgive you. Okay? 1, 2, 3.
I forgive you.
Say that again and again and again and again and again until it becomes real. Sure, there's going to be issues that pop up and remind you. You're like, no, I forgave him. No, I let that go. Well, why did you remember it? You probably remember that I forgave him. Just move on, okay? Forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. This is going to be huge in America for real issues financially. We'll see what happens. Let's see how amazing the Holy Spirit can move through our country. Prayer reveals and admits our need for him. 4, the prayer confesses we get distracted and need protection. Anybody get distracted? Yeah, I get distracted all the time. And there's a bunch of people who started out on Facebook and now they're on Amazon.com looking at hand sanitizer. They got distracted. I just called them out. They're closing that tab. They're coming back and they're boom, they're right here. Okay? Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. 2 pieces. Can we all admit that we can go down a dark alley we shouldn't go? Can we all admit that most of us, we don't struggle anymore with our hands, we struggle with our minds? Can you admit that you go down in your brain to places and worries that will never happen? Some of us have to admit, 99% of the things that I think about never occur, which means 99% of the stuff I think about is dumb and wrong. So own it. Admit that it's not worth worrying over. Start putting it in that correct category. But notice he says, don't lead us into temptation. Flip it. God, lead us to salvation. God, lead us to glory. God, lead us to paradise. God, lead us to where we're supposed to go. Don't lead us to where we're not supposed to go. Lead us to where we're supposed to go. Lead me in what is right and what is righteous and what is pure and what is true. But deliver us from evil. You know what that has to own? I get into some evil stuff. I say evil things. I think evil thoughts. Deliver me from myself. But notice the word in there. Us. Some of you guys, you need to pray that God would deliver Real Church from ourselves. And by some of you guys, I mean all of you guys. This may not be your home church. You should be praying this over your home church. You should be praying us over your community, over your street, over your city, over your state, over your country, over your world. Does that make sense? Deliver us from evil. Boy, I need to be delivered from evil. Anybody else? So let's move into our application. Here's our application. We're going to actually pray. We're going to talk about prayer. I'm not going to teach you about prayer. I've gone to a prayer conference where they taught about prayer for 3 days and we didn't pray. I thought, I want my money back. I don't feel like we got it full value. So let's look at this. I just broke it down into points and I'm building it back up. We're going to pray about relationship. Let's pray for deep internal connection to God through His Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Just join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, would you please connect us to you? You are our Father. Would you connect me and would you connect my fellow brothers and sisters to you through your Spirit? Amen. Isn't that a good prayer? Imagine praying that over your spouse while they're asleep. I mean, you're upset at them. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. The trash is still sitting there. It didn't get taken out. They've wronged you deeply. I get it. How about we pray over them that they would be connected to God? Isn't that more important than taking the trash out? Because if they're connected to God, guess what happens? Trash gets taken out. So next one, purpose. Pray God's plans are completed and followed in your own, in our, and your life. Okay, Facebook people, I want you to actually type out the prayers. So I'm practicing. Next week, you guys are all on Facebook. I want you to type out the prayer and enter it in. Okay? Pray that God's plans are completed and followed in our and your personal individual life. Let's pray. God, would you please complete your plans in my life and in the lives of my brothers and sisters in Christ and those who are not yet in you. Would you please, for the whole world, God, affect your plan. God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen. Plead. Pray God provides for communities, the community's needs, right? Do you know them? Give us this day our daily bread. Us, give us our daily bread. Pray for your neighbors. Pray that they would have food. Pray that they would have shelter. Pray that they would have health. Pray that they would have healing. Pray that they would have protection. Pray that they would have love. Pray that they would have community. Start praying for the 5 houses and homes that are all around you. Start praying that they would be blessed. Pray for the people who are around sitting in the room. God, would you please bless them? Because here, let me help you guys out. When God blesses somebody in our connection networks, guess what happens? It blesses all of us. Okay? God, would you please provide for the community's needs? Let's pray together, and I'm going to let this one pray silently. You think real quickly what you need to pray for in your area, and go ahead and pray that. If you want to pray, and as you're whispering and praying, that's fine. If you want to pray silently, that's fine. Facebook, if you actually want to type it, that's fine. I'm totally cool with it. But let's just stop for a second and pray. Yeah. forgive. Pray God gives you strength to forgive yourself and others. God, I don't have enough strength to forgive me. I'm pretty brutal on me. I'm pretty tough on me. Help me, King. Help me through your power, through your spirit, to be kind to me. Help me to forgive myself. Yeah, I should have done that. I didn't. But the only thing I can do is move on. Help me, God, to move on. God, would you please give us the power and the strength to forgive ourselves? Yes, we've made mistakes. Yes, we're not perfect. Yes, we're not scribes and Pharisees. And yes, we're not perfect like your Heavenly Father is perfect. Yes, we don't have $1 billion. And yes, we don't have all the money in the world. Which means we need something else. And that's you. And you've asked us to forgive. And God, because you've said it, I need to do it. Would you please teach me to truly forgive, to let it go and no longer hold legal value and strength and power over myself or another person's head, to give it away and to leave it alone. Amen. Protection. Pray God protects you from breaking relationship with God. See, don't lead me in temptation. Don't lead me away from you. Don't give me over to evil. It's relationship. Keep me in relationship with you, God. Keep me where I need to be. God, don't let me get too proud that I forget for who you are, and don't destroy me so much that I curse you. Keep me where I need to be. Put me in that beautiful spot. Amen? It's not a fun prayer. You're like, man, I wanted to come to church and be lifted up and be told that I'm amazing, and we studied the Beatitudes. No, we're not amazing. God's amazing.
Yes.
Okay? Now, if you guys know the end of the story, you will be amazing. We've just got to get there. Okay? Let's pray. God, protect us from breaking relationship with you.
Yes.
Keep us connected to you. God, please don't lead us to ourselves. Please lead us to you. Please lead us in where you want us to go. Please, mighty God, direct our families and the decisions we need to make. Please bless us with the choices of whether to go to work, to not go to work, to travel, to not to travel, to go to grocery stores, to not to go to grocery stores. Heavenly Father, would you please lead us and deliver us from evil? God, first of all, evil is in me. Evil is in us. Our flesh is evil. Deliver us from ourselves. And God, I specifically pray, God, would you please deliver us from COVID-19? Would you deliver us from this? Would you, mighty God, cleanse our earth of this? And may we be wise, and may revival occur inside of us, and may we return to our King. Amen. So how do we apply all this? Live as if God will do all the heavy lifting this week. Live as if God will do all the heavy lifting. We got a tiny little girl with her. Her name is Logan. She probably heard her name. Alex and Siobhan don't think that she should do a lot inside their home. Maybe she can carry her own backpack that has her baby wipes and a diaper in her back. Okay, maybe. But Alex and Siobhan have the mindset of what is appropriate for Logan to carry. Do you realize that in God's eyes, we're like Logan? Let's not try to carry more than we should. Let's let God do the heavy lifting. Okay? So, your finances, let God do the heavy lifting.
Yes.
Your job, let him do the heavy lifting.
Yes.
Your health, let him do the heavy lifting. Okay? Solving the problems of our nation, let him do the heavy lifting. And with your spouse, this is a joke, who snores, let him do the heavy lifting. Amen? All right. For those of you guys, that's really good home. Mainly my wife. Now, the reason why I brought humor back in is there's two things you need to do on Sabbath. You need to pray and you need to play. You need to pray and you need to play. They're both together. There's fun and there's prayer. Yes, you guys are going to spend tons of time in prayer. Make sure you play. Give some wasted time to something. Look at birds flying in the air and smile. Okay? Garden. I don't know how you would in this cold, but go for it. Okay? Read a book. Smile. Play a game. Watch a television show, but play and then pray again. then play, and then pray again. Then play, and then pray again. Do both. Does that make sense? This week, invite the worship team up. Come on up, guys. This week, as I've been going through this week, there's been two songs that have been rattling through my head. The first one you guys have heard me talk about before. It's an old 1980s chorus. It's "I cast all my cares upon you." It grabs a bunch of Bible verses and puts it all together. And the way it goes is, "I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And anytime I don't know what to do, I cast all my cares upon you." I feel like this week that needs to rattle in your head. So when your anxiety starts to move just a little bit up, start humming it, you know, get into that one. And there's another one. This one's for you, Madge. Another one that's been rattling around in my head. And the song is, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. When through the woods and the forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze." And the song that I've been singing in the shower and my family is so done hearing me is, "Then I go, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art." Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. Anxiety presses in on you. If sickness knocks at your door, if for some reason you get COVID, sing. Sing to your King. Sing to your Lord. Pray to your King. Seek your King. Your King is the one who can help you. Yes, go to medical facilities. Yes, do what we are being led by our leaders to do. But know that it's our King who has us. Amen?
Amen.